92.1 FM, Darren Haw, City of Austin Administrator here live at the 8 o'clock hour. And the reason I'm laughing is because I have a bunch of jokesters in front of me that are city employees. We got Jordan Wilkie, who is the park superintendent. Rob Nelson, who is the director of public works, who essentially really oversees everything that goes on out there. And we have Sean Dutton in the studio with us, who is the utility superintendent. And for those of you that are not aware what is included with utility, he'll get more involved with that. But that takes care of water and sewer. Storm sewer is more streets, right? Is that, yeah? So water and sewer. So Jordan Wilkie.
Hello.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Let's talk about the parks. What can you tell me about them?
Yeah, so with this wonderful weather we've been having, or lack of winter, parks are moving along really well. We're getting close to getting bathrooms open. We're just watching the evening temperatures. As soon as those stay above freezing and the future weather looks like they'll be above freezing, we'll get those park bathrooms opened up for the public to use. We know things have been nice out there, so we got them all cleaned up, ready to go. We are working on reopening the Marshalski's Park bathroom as well near our living food pantry. So that will be open this year. And our softball fields are up and running as well.
Got to stop you right there. Living food, living or live in?
Living food pantry.
Let's discuss that. What can we explain to the public to let them know of what that program is?
So at Marshalski's Park, we've had past historical issues with a lot of vandalism. The park was facing a lot of decline, and we essentially, because we moved the t-ball field out of there because the ground was too wet and the bugs were too bad, we moved all of our sporting stuff over to Jones Park. So the park was in decline and not getting much use. So the park board put their heads together and kind of brainstormed an idea of a living food pantry. It is its first in the state of this concept, essentially a municipal owned and operated orchard free to the public's use.
And we were recognized.
Yes.
Right? So we can get to that in a bit if you want to. I keep interrupting you, but yep. This is good stuff that I don't think enough people know about.
Yep. So it's very new. We've been at it for, this will be its third technical season of starting or going into this project. So our fruit trees are still very young, but we were published in a DNR newsletter in October of last year. And just this past February, we went up to Green Bay for a conference, and we accepted a letter from the Wisconsin Arborist Association and the DNR for innovations in urban forestry, which is a pretty prestigious award
for
this project. So there'll be more of that re-recognition at a council meeting coming up. But yeah, the project, we have irrigation in there. We have apple, cherry, pear, and plum trees. And this year we are looking to get blackberries and raspberries installed as well. So it's a really cool project. Hope people start visiting the park and are able to harvest the fruit as it becomes abundant.
That's awesome. Yeah. Now, who did the work? Like, once everything got approved and things started jiving, like, was it the City of Austin Parks Department that did the work?
Yep,
did we have help from, say, the rest of the Public Works Department as needed? Or how did that work?
Parks Department, with the skill set that we have now, we have myself and one other full-time year-round position. So we got an early start in the spring before our seasonal help started. We put in all the irrigation ourselves. And we applied for grants to pay for the trees to offset some of that cost. So we were still able to install this entire project within our normal operating budget, which was phenomenal to get those grants. So the project's been working, and hope to continue to grow it.
How do we protect it? As you stated earlier, we've had some issues there in years past. How do we protect it? Obviously, you can't foolproof it, but maybe take some measures to help prolong it.
Yep. To keep the healthy side of the trees, we do have an irrigation system in there to keep our trees. So when we have dry years like last year, we don't start losing trees as they take a while to replace. As for vandalism, we do have multiple cameras now installed in that park to kind of keep a look at the infrastructure of this project to make sure that damage isn't being done and to hold those accountable if there are.
And folks who are listening, I can tell you firsthand, well, secondhand based off Jordan, but those cameras do work. So
they have come in very handy. We work close with law enforcement. Not only there, Lions Park has cameras there as well, because we do have such nice equipment between the splash pad, new tennis courts with all the pickleball on there, which is extremely popular, the new playground equipment. You know, we want to protect our assets that we have and keep it good for the entire community. So we do catch these things, and we do hold those accountable.
We have invested a lot in our parks in the last, say, what, 4 or 5 years, would you think? Mm-hmm. Maybe longer, about that time frame.
Yes.
And I think if those, the folks, and the, whether the residents, non-residents that come to town that utilize our facilities, our resources, would maybe, if they'd not better understand, but maybe if they understood what it is that it takes to operate the items that we put in place that's for everyone's use, it might be more beneficial than just saying, oh, there's a new playground, or, hey, we redid the tennis court over there. But to actually understand that the amount of work and planning it takes to do this.
Right. And whether the equipment is new or old, there's plenty of maintenance that has to be done. As I mentioned, there's two of us that are full time in the parks and forestry department. And then we hire usually about three other seasonal positions to keep our parks clean every day. Bathrooms, and it's 7 days a week, bathrooms and garbages get checked and cleaned, you know, keep everything nice for them, all the way down to looking at the equipment. We try to keep eyes on everything, catching everything from bees to garbage blowing around, weed eating, mowing. It takes quite a bit of work to keep
weed eating, mowing, whether it's cemetery, parks. What is it that you don't have right now that you need as it comes time for that? Is it employees? It is. It is seasonal, part-time employees. So if you're listening and you think you might be a good fit, come see either Jordan or myself at City Hall.
Yep, and we have fun in the parks. It changes every day. One day you may be mowing, next day you might be helping the tree work, next day you might be in the cemetery helping us. So it's not a stagnant, same repetitive job. It is fun. You get to learn some skills, and if you don't know them, we'll teach you.
This is amazing. Jordan, thank you so much for sharing all this information. 92.1 FM, stay tuned. We need. I'm being told we got to take a quick break. If y'all hear from Murph, let us know. We have no idea where he's at. Stay tuned. 92.1 FM, Darren Haw, City of Mauston Administrator, in the studio this morning. And we are doing a takeover because Murph is a slacker and he just thinks he can come and go as he wants. But nonetheless, which is how it's going to be. So I have Jordan Wilkie, Park Superintendent, live on air with me right now. I've got two other members of the City of Mauston crew with us. For those of you that weren't listening earlier, I've got Rob Nelson, our Director of Public Works, and I have Sean Dutton, our Utility Superintendent. We'll get to those two here in a little bit. Jordan, I want to ask you another question. We started talking about the parks. We went into the rentals, availability. Then we went into resources. Then we went to the Living Food Pantry, and I stopped you, and we kind of earmarked that a little bit and talked it up, and for good reason. But I want to circle back on the parks. How can folks utilize these resources, whether to rent them, to use them, et cetera? Is that something you can talk about?
Yeah. So in our entire park system, we have multiple pavilions throughout, and all those pavilions can be rented, whether you are resident or non-resident. There are two different prices. And even if you're a nonprofit group or a local group, you may also rent those spaces as well. You can contact myself via email or through the city phone. But the best way is to go online, and there's a portal on there where you can sign up to register, take care of your payment online. And if you're not savvy enough for that, just give City Hall a call. Our wonderful staff up there will get you in touch with the right folks to get the, you know, handwritten form filled out. Sure. And you can come up to City Hall and make that payment then. And then the next process is we make sure that park is ready for you by the morning garbage runs and bathroom checks, so everything will be good for that reservation. And then there is a reservation that gets hung up at the pavilions. Each pavilion kind of has a spot where we slide in the cards that states who it's rented for. So if you are visiting our parks and you do see that sign and people start moving in, yes, they do get priority and first hand of that pavilion, and you kindly step to the side and let them have it, because they are paying a fee to use that facility. Sure. And some of those facilities do have kind of like a concession stand where you can roll up the window, you can set your food out there, whether it's a birthday party, anniversaries, family reunions. You name it, we've had different celebrations there. And like I said, if you're a nonprofit and you're looking to use our parks for something a little bit special or a little bit different, reach out to me. I'll work with you. We've worked with larger groups we have a fire pit that we have moved around for certain groups, and there's a little bit of different rules for that.
Sure.
But we've been able to help with that as well.
But I want to be clear on one thing. We don't just have one park to rent, do we? We have various or multiple parks that we can rent.
Yes.
Can you tell us what those parks are?
Yeah, so we'll start on the far south end of town there, we have Veterans Memorial Park with the softball fields. There you have a very nice concession stand. Or what
a lot of people refer to as the fairgrounds. Only the fairgrounds a couple weeks out of the year. So, right.
So the city owns, operates, and maintains the softball fields that are there and also the concession stand. Beautiful area, beautiful bathrooms. The fire department has been throwing a softball tournament there every year. The high school uses it, but there's also, I know Mile Bluff has used it for their employee picnics. Certainly. So there's many uses that can be done there. Moving into town, you have Lions Park, probably our most popular park, and you have the splash pad. You have wonderful play equipment, the tennis courts with pickleball, once again, a very nice pavilion with bathrooms there. That one also does have a concession stand that can be used. Moving in, we have Jones, which has a t-ball field and youth baseball field that has a pavilion and bathrooms as well that can be rented, and dugouts there.
Don't park behind the dugouts, because I'm here to tell you, if you park behind the dugouts, even though if you think you park far enough away, your kid's going to hit a dinger right behind you, and it's going to hit break your windshield.
Yeah, that's a liability you're on going to the ball games. Then moving in, we have our Riverside Park, also very popular, beautiful area. It has the Riverwalk system that goes all the way below the dam. It has a walking bridge that connects both sides of the river, and you can come all the way up to Murphy Park. But at Riverside, there's multiple pavilions there. There's actually three that you can rent, one including the band shelter, very large bathrooms there as well. So we've had multiple events. This year we'll be having the farmers market. We'll be back down there this year on Saturdays. So they're going to kind of slide a little bit more middle of the park, but they have some pretty big plans down there. So
amazing. This is good stuff.
Yep. As I mentioned earlier, then Marshalski's Park, we'll be reopening a single-use bathroom there that has our living food pantry, a pavilion that can be rented, as well as some play equipment. Murphy Park across the river, just a very nice sitting spot, but thanks to Juneau County, this will be our third year of having a handicap-accessible canoe and kayak launch there.
I just had an eye-opening experience when you said that part, because it's like, I forget about that part.
It does kind of get forgotten about, being that it is over on the island. But yeah, you can come across there. It's got a pavilion. Once again, the pavilion can be rented if you want sole access to it. Like I said, though, if you have a canoe or kayak, great spot. You do got to kind of drag it or carry it down there. But once you get in there, very nice, easy. You can go all the way around the island then to kayak. And then probably our second most popular park, last but not least, our dog park. Very, very popular. Gets lots of use. There's a morning crowd. There's an afternoon crowd. These people have made some pretty good bonds. Not only the people, but the dogs.
So. I can't believe it. I saw it for the first time myself. You know, I don't take our dogs there, not for any reason, but our backyard's fenced in. So I just let them out the back and they run. But I was driving out that way yesterday looking at something. I couldn't believe the amount of dogs and the people that were out there. I mean, that parking lot was full. I bet there were 2 dozen dogs out there in that parking lot.
Yeah,
at the parking lot in the dog park. It was my first time really seeing how much it gets utilized. So for those that say it doesn't, it does.
And we've taken some steps to kind of help that park along. We put in some concrete last year in the entrance area to it because it is so popular, to keep it nice and clean.
And we have a porta potty out there, correct?
We'll get a porta potty out there once again because we don't have any facilities there. So we do have that there for...
Right, because the animals need somewhere to go potty. I mean, so we got to have the porta potty out there, right? So
the one thing out there at the dog park that can be frustrating, and, you know, some of these folks that are regular users there do a really good job, and they do help kind of police the park. But we need everyone who does visit the dog park to do their part of picking up after their dogs.
We got baggies, right?
Yes.
We got them on a post?
The city has bags all throughout the town through our sidewalks, dump stations, and baggie stations for people to help with this. And it is very important that we do pick up, whether it's at the dog park or anywhere in town, not only to keep things clean, but for the health of the animals and ourselves. We just cannot have that around. So
good stuff.
We did install a camera there as well, and... like I said, people got to police themselves so we don't end up having to lose some of our great assets.
Or someone driving into a fence.
Right.
92.1 FM, Jordan Wilkie, Park Superintendent, live with me here this morning. Murph, don't know where he's at. It's speechless. 92.1, stay tuned. 92.1 FM, Darren Haas, City Administrator for the City of Mauston. Beautiful area. Still live in the studio this morning, and If you were listening, we had Jordan Wilkie talking about the parks and the great resources that Parks Department has to offer. Next up, we have Rob Nelson, our Director of Public Works. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning.
We have a whole plethora of items here that we could talk about, and a lot of this stuff I don't think the public really knows or really thinks of. But before we get into that, I really would like to talk about some of the recurrent items, the resources that the city, when I mean the city, I mean the employees that really do the job that they're being paid to do to make sure we have a clean, safe place to live in. But one of those things that we do that I don't think people really think of, that just kind of they just assume it's going to get done, is brush pickup. Right? So yep. We have brush pickup. It's seasonal. But what can you tell us about brush cleanup?
All right. Brush pickup, it occurs twice a month. This year it'll be starting the week of April 8th. Just a couple housekeeping things on that. Stacking brush ends out towards the street for our easy pickup. And keep it away from power poles. We have problems with not being able to access that.
We do not need to put anyone's lives at risk. So that is a good point. Thank you.
Okay. And that'll run through the end of October.
Okay.
And with yard waste in the spring, we ask that it's bagged because we don't vacuum. Fall, it's vacuumed. Leaf pickup.
What kind of bag? I know what kind of bag, but I've seen multiple and various kind of bags throughout the years. But sometimes we're nice, or I shouldn't say we're nice, we're always nice, but sometimes we do pick them up out of courtesy. But more often than not, they don't get picked up because they're not on how we require them by policy. So there is a specific bag. Rob, what can you tell us?
Brown paper recycled bag. You can buy them at the hardware store, Festival Foods, Walmart. Okay. And that way it breaks down with the leaves. And
okay.
We actually end up with a really nice black dirt product when they break down. So it takes about 2 years. Compost.
Okay. So there's one thing I got to elaborate on those bags. One word to this. Weight. Okay. I'm guilty of this. I did it one time. It's been a couple, 3 years ago. But I filled that thing to the brim. And guess where it stayed? It stayed at the curb. Why? I didn't realize it. Why? Because it was too heavy. We don't want to put anyone's health at risk by blowing out their back, knees, whatever. So we do have a weight requirement. Typically, those bags have lines on them, don't they?
Yes.
But they do. whether it's a line on there or not, depending on what they want to throw in there, can add to that weight. Whether they're trying to hide some cement bricks underneath some lawnmower clippings or whatever the case may be, we do have a weight. What is that weight requirement?
50 pounds or under.
50 pounds or under. Okay. Now, we don't have a scale out there. So we're not weighing everyone. We're using our judgment. So, but just be mindful and cognitive that we do have a requirement and we do have the safety of our employees to keep in mind. Okay. Any more on the brush pickup that our public needs to know about that we haven't discussed on that?
No, I don't think so. I'll jump right into spring and fall cleanup for garbage.
Please. Now, this isn't just garbage from the garbage bins that we have, is it?
No, it's chairs, couches, things, anything furniture not with Freon in it will be picked up.
Freon's bad stuff.
Yeah.
Yes. So keep in mind, these and Rob, correct me if I'm wrong, but only these two times a year is you're allowed to put garbage on the curb that's not in the bins, correct?
Correct.
Any other time, if you have garbage on the curb that's not on these, in either your recycling or your garbage bin, will not get picked up.
Let me run through just a quick list of things that will not be picked up during this. Electronics, tires, mattresses, box springs, anything with Freon in it, whether it's a refrigerator or a dehumidifier. So just keep that in mind. Those require a fee and can be delivered down to Lenaroud's with an appointment.
That is a good point, Rob. And one thing I'd like to follow up on that is sometimes during these spring cleanups, it's inevitable. You're going to see mattresses, TVs, et cetera, out there. But sometimes when I see them, they have tags on them. What do those tags mean?
It means that they went down to our contractor, Lenaroud Services, and purchased a tag. So they will be picked up then.
Okay, so pre-purchase, they've already been approved. Done deal.
Correct.
Folks, if you're listening, please follow those rules. It's great when everyone does. Things go much smoother. We got to take a break. I'm told that Murph called in. I don't know if I believe this or not. He guy's tall. I can see him up there, getting that dome of his all nice and sunburnt, assuming he's, somewhere nicer than where we're at right now. So stay tuned. 92.1 FM. Welcome back, 92.1 FM. Darren Haw, City Administrator from Mawson, still with you this morning. And that was a false alarm for those of you that were listening. It was not Murph. Sounded like him, which, I mean, he's the world's worst DJ. I don't know how somebody can depict that voice from another. But nonetheless, still looking for him. Don't know where he's at. Rob Nelson, Director of Public Works for the City of Mauston. How are you, Rob?
Good.
You having a good time so far?
Oh, yeah.
Love to hear it. Hey, we had a great segment just a little bit ago talking about brush pickup, garbage, things that the public needs to be aware of. Knowledge is key on this. But I'd like to kind of go away from that everyday recurring stuff, and I want to talk about what I would consider a massive taking that we've got coming up. This, I think, going to start in a couple months, maybe not, maybe less.
August is the
projected start date.
Okay. Date, yep.
For those of you that don't know, this isn't a project that we just started a month ago or even a year ago. This is almost 2.5 years in the making that we started this, the undertaking of this project. And that project is a sewer treatment plant facility upgrade. We have the man, Rob Nelson, in here with you. He knows what's going on with it, and he's going to explain to the public a little bit more as to what's going on, what to expect, certain things they're going to see.
Well, we're operating with 40-plus-year-old equipment right now, so that's a major part of it, is replacing that with modern-day energy-efficient equipment. Lagoons haven't been cleaned out since they were installed back in the late 90s.
All right, Rob, I got to pause you right there. When you say lagoons, before I started with the city, I didn't know what that meant. So can you, without going into too much detail, can you explain to the public what a lagoon is?
So our wastewater treatment facility system is a lagoon system. It's pumped out from the city out to by the Catholic Cemetery on 12 and 16 to a series of 5 lagoons, which are like little lakes. They're aerated, and it's basically naturally cleaning the contaminated water for reintroduction into nature, which happens behind our main pumping station on 12 and 16 in the Lemonwire River. We're under strict limits by DNR, and we always make those limits, so that's a good thing.
We're always getting stuff in the mail, forms to fill out, requirements that we have to submit to the state and sometimes the federal government on this. So thank you for explaining what the lagoons are. So
the project will consist of remodeling of buildings, upgrading of pavements that are 40, 50 years old, new blowers, which add aeration to the wastewater system, new pumps that pump from the city out to the lagoons. And it's about an $8 million project.
It is. But I would like to add, it is, like I said earlier, a massive undertaking. Mm-hmm. Okay. However, we qualified for a lot of public, what's called PLF, public loan forgiveness. We're hoping to get more. However, I think right now we're at 1.7 or 1.8 public loan forgiveness off the top of that total purchase price. So that was awesome news when we heard that. So what that really means is that's less money that we'll need for the overall project, of which less money that we'll have to assess to the residents to help pay for this project over time. So we did what we could with something that had to be done. Rob, thank you so much for explaining the sewer treatment plant. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about as we move forward? Things that maybe people need to watch out for? Is there going to be heavy equipment, trucks, et cetera, coming into town? Or for the most part, will it seem seamless for the everyday person?
It's going to pretty much seem seamless. The biggest thing you'll see is trucks hauling biosolids out to farm fields.
Okay.
And that'll be August, September, October.
Okay. But that's nothing. But the hauling's nothing new. We do that, every 2 or 3 years?
Yeah.
Okay. Outstanding. Rob, thank you for explaining that. Rob, we just got done talking about the sewer treatment plant, the facility upgrade, the massive undertaking it's going to be, and explaining to the public what to expect, not expect, or if it's going to be seamless. All great stuff. But I want to take a little bit of time, no more than a couple minutes, to talk about some of the equipment that the Public Works has that really help us succeed in keeping our city nice. I mean, it is, the roads are nice, curbs are nice, sidewalks are nice, manhole covers, storm sewers. Right? Don't they have to replace those? So real quick, what is some of the equipment that the Public Works has that is, I think, kind of cool?
The majority of our equipment is dual use, meaning construction type projects and also like snow removal.
So like dump trucks?
Dump trucks, okay. And loaders. Once in a while, you'll see a sewer jetting machine out cleaning sewers or jetting.
So real quick, what do you mean by jetting?
High pressure water cleaning underground lines.
So you're pushing water down through the lines.
Yep.
Okay.
Everybody sees a street sweeper all the time. That's key to keeping our lake clean. I know some people think it's out too much, but it's
when the weather's beautiful, yeah, and there's no snow to be projected in the future, I mean, why not get ahead of the game? I mean, if you don't clean it now, it's going to accumulate. And I guess, in my opinion, it's going to have to get picked up anyways, right?
So, So a cool piece of equipment we picked up a couple of years ago, it's called Mr. Manhole. It actually core drills around a manhole so we can lift the casting off, realign it because they tip or they heave. So that straightens them up so we're not hitting with snow plows. Cars aren't hitting them with their tires. So that's been a really time saver and back saver.
I can't wait to see that. I'm a geek when it comes to equipment. I sit in an office all day, and growing up on a farm, I love seeing that equipment in use. So,
and you end up with a really nice clean product when you're done. We put a concrete sleeve around the manhole, so it's
outstanding stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, we are running out of time. We could talk for hours on equipment that the city has to keep the area safe. So 92.1 FM, Darren Haas, City of Mawson, City Administrator, in studio with Rob Nelson, Director of Public Works. Stay tuned. 92.1 FM, Darren Haas, City of Mawson Administrator, still in studio because Murph is out doing something. Apparently, I got word that he was on vacation. I didn't tell anybody, but I guess when you own your own business and you got people that do all the work for you, and regardless, you can just kind of pick up and leave. So, but in the studio, I had Jordan Wilkie, Superintendent of Parks, Rob Nelson, Director of Public Works. Last but not least, Sean Dutton, our Utility Superintendent. Good morning, Sean. Good
morning.
We're here to still talk about our Public Works Department, but not just the Public Works Department. And this time, we've already beat that horse dead. What we have now is we want to talk more about the utility side of it, which is water, sewer. And what you'd like to talk about is a survey that we're, mandated to do?
Yes.
And who are we mandated to do this by?
By the EPA.
By the EPA, which is state or federal?
Federal.
Federal. So if we don't do this, then we could potentially get in trouble, which we don't want.
Correct.
So the more public participation that we get moving forward, the better off we'll be to move forward with whatever their goal is, correct?
Correct.
Okay. What is it that the survey consists of?
So the project is part of the EPA's National Primary Drinking Water Regulations for Safe Drinking Water.
And real quick, what is EPA? Is that Environmental Protection Agency?
Correct.
Okay. For those of you that don't know, EPA is Environmental Protection Agency.
So all water systems are being required to perform an inventory of the plumbing material entering the home. Inventory includes like the type, the size of the material, before and after the water meter.
Okay.
There are more than one type of material that could make up your line. You could have copper, there's multiple different ones, plastic. The EPA has given a deadline of October 16th of this year to have everything surveyed.
But this isn't something that's new. We've been trying to get these surveys done for a better part of a year now, haven't we?
Yeah, yes. It actually started in 2021.
Oh, smokes. Okay. Longer than that. Math is hard, everybody.
So there are three different types of options that you can do to gather this information. The first one was the form that was sent out with the 2023 taxes. You can just fill it out, send it back into City Hall or drop it off to City Hall. The second one is you can go onto the city's website, and there will be a yellow box on the top of the screen with a link that you can click on, and that link will take you right to the form to fill out. And there will be a picture in there that explains what you're looking for, where you're gathering their information from.
It does indeed. And I know I keep interrupting you, but I got to say, I did that myself. And it was user-friendly. Instruction. If you follow the instructions, A through whatever, it's pretty seamless.
Yes, so. And it's very fast to do it. The third option is you can actually call the City Hall, schedule an appointment, and one of us will come out and do the inventory for you. And again, it only takes just a couple of minutes to do it. It's not a very long process.
But I would like to know, if and when you do call City Hall, who are they going to get when they call?
You'll actually talk to Val, our clerk, and she will be able to put you on the schedule, and then one of us will come around whenever the schedule's set up for, the appointment's for, and we'll come and do the inspection for you.
Amazing. Okay. What else do you have with this?
There's pictures on either the website or on the form that was sent out that shows you how to distinguish between what type of material it is, and just to give you little pointers on easier way to fill out the form.
Okay. I get this might be not necessarily the bane of your existence, but it might hiccup your day from what you have planned. But we really do ask and encourage the residents to complete this survey. But one thing I don't think we touched base on is we've explained that the EPA is mandating this test, but I don't think we understand the why. Can we explain the why behind this?
They are,
what they're looking for?
They are trying to look for lead services that are still buried underground, or lead services that come into your home. It's just for all safe drinking water.
Okay. for everybody. So correct, whether somebody's got lead in their home or not, could it potentially pollute everyone's line or not really? I mean, depends on how much there is. They just don't want to take any negative factors and just eliminate it all.
Right, and just eliminate it all. Just get it right out of the ground and go to either copper or to the plastic, which everybody's going to.
Okay. Sean, thank you very much for that. 92.1 FM, for those of you that are just tuning in, Darren Haw, City of Mauston Administrator with Sean Dutton, our Utility Superintendent. We are again running out of time, so I want to finish the segment off by some riveting stats that we have here in the City of Mauston. Sean, take it away. What do we have for, like, let's put this into perspective for those listening. Like, how many miles of infrastructure do we have running through the City of Mauston?
We have approximately 27 miles of sewer mains underground. We have approximately 26 miles of water. We have 11 lift stations. We have about 250 fire hydrants. And we have about 700 valves hooked into the water system.
What do the valves do?
The valves are so we can isolate systems, the stretches of the system.
So like, I'll use the Northside Project for an example. When they're replacing the lines, when I've heard you say that you've got to go shut valves off so they can replace it, is that one of those valves you're talking about?
Yes.
It's essentially shut off a block grid?
Correct. Yep. We can shut off a section so they can work on the water main.
So they can cut that off and not have any pressure go through there.
Correct.
More issues.
Correct.
Wow. That's crazy. 27 miles.
Yes.
Try to put that into perspective. And did you say how many miles worth of road we have
that we have
to maintain?
We have approximately 27 miles of road also.
So, folks, if you're listening, when it snows, we have a lot of responsibility, and I think we do a good job at it. So please keep that in mind. It's not just a city block. It's not just a alleyway. It's 27 miles. Put that into perspective. 92.1 FM, Darren Haw, City Administrator, City of Mauston, Sean Dutton, Utility Superintendent for the City of Mauston. We are out of time. We're going to let you go. I want to thank you all for tuning in and listening to the segment while Murph is off doing whatever Murph thinks he wants to do. Next hour will consist of Bridget Christensen, the director of the Hatch Public Library here in town. We have a lot of information to go over. Bridget, she likes to share this information. So if you're listening, yes, I said that, Bridget. So again, thank you everyone for tuning in.